Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you.
The rant that I would like to share with you, to present with you, is the story of the Republican Party's, paraphrasing Steve Bannon, flood the zone with crap race strategy. They think they've got this thing figured out. The Republicans. They have tried dozens of things that they can, you know, throw against Democrats over the last year and a half. There was, Mr. Potato Head, and there there's just been like this continuous stream of, you know, outrage and freak out and, you know, trying things on, for example. And now I think that they've got one that they're really deciding to use, and it's this whole critical race theory thing. And the use of critical race theory by Republicans as an attack tool is not something new. And this is the amazing thing. I think, you know, a lot of people think that it is, where'd this come from? What's this all about? Well, back in 2012, when Barack Obama was president, leading up to the midterm elections, as Spencer Silva points this out over a national memo, he said, there are even similarities in the dark money behind the 2012 and 2021 efforts. The efforts to use critical race theory to attack Democrats. Robert Mercer, advised by Bannon, who became executive chairman of Breitbart after Andrew Breitbart's death, infamously financed Andrew Breitbart's early smear campaigns. His daughter Rebecca has donated large sums of money to two think tanks that seem to be behind the newest weaponization of critical race theory. Bannon, for his part, is now predicting, now this is back now to 2021, is now predicting the current anti-critical race theory campaign will not only win the House of Representatives back for Republicans in 2022, but will also prove to be a right-wing presidential winner in 2024. End a quote from National Memo by Spencer Silva. This is what they're doing. There is this strategy, system for influencing people, for changing opinions, that the Rand Foundation actually did a rather substantial white paper on sometime back. The title of the piece that the Rand Corporation did was titled "The Russian Fire Hose of Falsehood Propaganda Model," and Steve Bannon calls it, you know, a fire hose of the S word of crap. Rand's researchers said that if this is going to work, if you're going to try and use this strategy, it has to be a fire hose. It can't be a single channel. This is quoting from the Rand Report study. Quote, high volume and multi-channel, two of the distinctive features are high numbers of channels and messages and a shameless willingness to disseminate partial truths or even outright fictions, end of quote, from the Rand Report. Additionally, the researchers of Rand Report, the lie and all the information backing it up must be presented with a media effort that is, quote, rapid, continuous, and repetitive, end quote. In this way, they essentially seize control of the zone of information around the topic, regardless of how many times people deny it or try to explain it or try to say, no, I'm not a villain. It's really quite amazing. And if you got this op-ed, by the way, that I pushed it out this morning from HartmanReport.com, in the article, there's a sentence. This is on the sloppy racist side, cartoonishly photoshopped phony pictures of obese black women telling white people they're all racists are popping up on conservative blogs all across the internet. Take a look at this picture. Just click on that link. It looks like, it purports to be kind of a classroom with a bunch of white adults sitting watching a very, very, very large black woman standing next to a couple of flip charts. And one of those flip charts says, all white people are racist, in giant letters. And then it says, PayPal me at Ashley the Lion, ashleyshackelford.com. So it's got all that, as if that's her name. And by the way, if you go to that website, it's been seized up by somebody who redirects you to an advertising site in order to make money. So there is no such site. And then the other flipboard says diversity, intersectionality, minorities, equality, equity, people of color, safe space, white privilege, capitalism, racism. Like it's some kind of a class, right? But it's just totally photoshopped. And this is the cartoon vision that the Republicans are trying to sell to white Americans, that basically black people are coming to instruct your children that they should feel terrible about the color of their skin. This is literally what these guys are saying. And Steve Bannon, just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he said this critical race theory thing is to the Tea Party the 10th power. This isn't Q. This isn't mainstream suburban moms. A lot of these people aren't even Trump voters who are flipped out about it. The Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper, for example, points out that this school system near Cleveland, Rocky River, had a ballot initiative to raise a very slight raise in local, millage taxes, property taxes, to help pay for fixing the school up. And this guy, Tom Zawistowski, a Republican who is in tight with the Koch brothers' efforts to rewrite the Constitution and a leader of the Ohio Tea Party, he did this robocall into this school district. And this is what the robocall said. The district's teachers, staff, and administrators want to implement the racist, anti-American, nonsensical, critical race theory which indoctrinates your children and grandchildren with race-based hate of white people, of American history, and of capitalism. Now, as you probably already figured out, none of that is true. The critical race theory doesn't teach any of those things. But the fact of the matter is, hey, it's got the word critical, which sounds, critical. It's got the word race, which Republicans, this has been their strategy. Richard Nixon in 68, law and order and the Southern strategy. Make white people afraid of black people. It got him elected twice. And then you got Ronald Reagan with his whole thing about the welfare, the black welfare queens, and that young buck using food stamps to buy a steak in front of you in line and stuff like that. Reagan, openly, nakedly racist. And then George Herbert Walker Bush with his Willie Horton ads. And then George W. Bush with his Muslims going to come get you and, they're not white people. And then you got Donald Trump with his Mexican racists pulling out. The Republican Party has been using this strategy successfully to win election, because 70% roughly of the electorate is white. They have been using this strategy since 1968 to win elections, by scaring the crap out of white people that black people are coming to get them, or they're going to burn down their city, or they're going to rape their daughters, or, fill in the blanks, right? Which is it going to be? Or murder their daughters, in the case of the Willie Horton ads, or Dukakis' wife. You now have 23 states where banning the T teaching of critical race theory, which is not taught in one single public school in America. There's not a school in America, a public school. You may find, you know, colleges where this is discussed, but in terms of public education, nobody's teaching critical race theory. This is an academic. This is like teaching molecular physics, if there is such a thing. it's just not happening. But 23 Republican-controlled states have passed laws that have been signed by governors to ban the teaching of critical race theory that's not even being taught. And as I said, they tried doing this in 2012 against Obama. The fire hose strategy didn't work, and so they're trying it again. And, you know, as the Washington Post pointed out, they said the term critical race theory was mentioned just 132 times on Fox News in the entire year of 2020, right? They're just kind of keeping it alive and popping it up from time to time and testing what works and what doesn't until they finally figured out the lies that they could tell about critical race theory so that they could turn it into Lex Luthor. They could turn it into the Joker. They could turn it into Kryptonite. So they could turn it into the great evil thing that the Democrats are using against America. Now, in 2021, we're 6 months seven months into the year. It's been mentioned 1,860 times. Yesterday, between sunrise and 2 p.m., Justin Barragona of the Daily Beast counted 123 mentions of critical race theory just on Fox. This is what they're trying to do to win elections. This is their strategy. And frankly, it is pure racism, and it needs to be called out as such. I really think that the way that the Democrats fight this, and if you have a better idea about how to fight this whole meme that the Republicans are rolling out, rather than sitting around going, well, let me explain to you a critical, nobody wants to hear the explanation. That brand is dead, and the GOP is dancing on its graves. Instead, if Democrats want to fight back, in my opinion, what they need to be saying is, hey, this whole phony critical race theory thing that the Republicans are all hysterical about, this is just the same thing as the Nixon-Southern strategy. This is just the same thing as Trump with his Mexican racists. This is the same thing as George Herbert Walker Bush with Willie Horton. This is another Republican attempt to use racist smears to scare white people into voting for Republicans. It's just that simple. And the Democratic Party needs to be saying this, needs to be doubling down on it, it needs to be repeating it over and over and over again. Because if they don't, the Republicans actually are going to get away with it. The big players are in on this now. Heritage Foundation, one of the people from Heritage, said this will be bigger than the Tea Party. Well, you know what the Tea Party did? We lost Congress in the 2010 election because of the Tea Party. They're planning. We got to react.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So what do you think is the best strategy to fight back against the so-called flood the zone with crap strategy of Steve Bannon? Mike Pompeo echoing, everybody's getting in on this act, right? Pompeo, the former right-wing congressman, member of the House of Representatives, then Trump put him in as Secretary of State. And now he's claiming that it's dangerous to teach that America's founding was racist. Verbatim, quote, if we teach that the founding of the United States of America was somehow flawed, that it was corrupt, it was racist, that's really dangerous. It strikes at the very foundations of our country. Right. People on social media are making fun of him for saying this. But, you know, I think it raises an important question. And frankly, an important issue. Which is, how does a country improve? How do we solve the vestiges of not just institutional racism, it's almost too soft a word and it kind of describes today, but just the raw brutality of the genocide of the Native Americans, an attempted genocide, and the enslavement of millions of human beings over hundreds of years. You know, rape, torture, lynching, generation after generation of people, you know, living in terror, families torn apart. How do we deal with the aftermath of that? Here we are. You know, it's like a hurricane went through, you know, and debris is everywhere. What do you do? Do you just pretend like it's not there? Do you just sit around and go, oh, yeah, sitting here on the front porch, sure looks nice to me out there? Or do you go out and you start cleaning up the situation? And this is, by and large, what both Democrats and academics have been saying, is we need to clean this up. And Republicans are now saying, no, we don't want to clean it up. And why would they not want to clean it up? Well, because it was always about white supremacy. It was always about keeping power in America in the hands of white people exclusively. And whiteness has been redefined over and over and over again, although Virginia was really the first back in the early 1700s and the late 1600s to essentially invent this thing called whiteness and put it into law in ways that other states would emulate, so that by the 1760s it was a well-established thing as a way of getting even poor whites to side with wealthy whites over people who are not white. If we don't recognize this, if we don't come to terms with it, we're going to continue to suffer from it. It hurts us all. It hurts our country when some of us don't have access to the same resources and opportunities and frankly, just quality of life that the rest of us have. There has to be this clean baseline for life in America, and regardless of who you are, where you came from. And this was our founding ideal, but we are certainly still a long way from there, and Republicans want to keep us a long way from there. And they're going to do everything they can possible to keep us from doing anything, you know, moving forward. I mean, here you've got H.R. 1, the For the People Act, and the John Lewis Voting Act, H.R. 4, that would not entirely, but largely undo the damage the Roberts Supreme Court has done to the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, and make it easier for people to vote and make it harder to use the mechanisms of government to rig elections to the benefit of the Republican Party, or any party, frankly. I mean, Democrats are giving up their ability, for example, to gerrymander blue states in exchange for ending the ability of Republicans to gerrymander red states, which, you know, is a pretty reasonable thing, I think. The problem is Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema right now. Joan McCarter over at Daily Kos had a fascinating piece yesterday about how, you'll recall yesterday I shared with you how Kyrsten Sinema is just tanking in the polls. Her Democratic colleague, there's two senators from Arizona, Sinema and Kelly. And Mark Kelly has an approval rating like in the 70s among Democrats. Kyrsten Sinema, it's not even hitting 50%. It's like 47%. And it's because she's been working against Democratic interests, and she's openly, you know, see, apparently she saw this whole John McCain Maverick thing. And what she failed to understand was that John McCain was a maverick in a party that was committed to corrupting and degrading America. John McCain disagreed with some of the militaristic policies. He disagreed with, he was the one who refused to end Obamacare, for example, because he thought his party was wrong on this. So he was a little mavericky, but he was mavericky in ways that generally benefited the people. Kyrsten Sinema, on the other hand, decided that she would show her mavericky stripes by doing the thumbs down on raising the minimum wage. Really? So apparently her PR flacks have gotten wind of the fact that she's melting in the public opinion polls in Arizona. And so they got the Associated Press, Lisa Mascaro and Nicholas Riccardi, two reporters over at the Associated Press to write a puff piece about her. And it's out now. You can read it. You know, it's all over the internet. They say she is modeling her approach on the renegade style of Arizona Senator John McCain, who died in 2018 and was known for his willingness to reach across the aisle. Well, that wasn't his mavericky part of it. It was his willingness to defy his own party when they were demonstrably wrong. And then they quote her, this noble statement, Kyrsten Sinema. It's the easiest thing in the world for politicians to declare bipartisanship dead and line up on the respective sides of a partisan battle. What's harder is getting out of our comfort zone, finding common ground with unlikely allies and forming coalitions that can achieve durable, lasting results. Right. That's what you're doing? Really? When did that work? Seriously? The entire story only quotes one Democrat, but it quotes all kinds of Republicans. Former Republican legislative colleague Steve Yarborough giving her high praise. Given how smart and driven she is, it doesn't surprise me at all she's doing so well. Republican colleague Representative Patrick McHenry of North Carolina. People may doubt her sincerity, but the truth is she makes an active decision that she's going to work well with people, and I haven't seen her slip up. Senator John Thune of South Dakota. Kyrsten is always honest and straightforward, two often underrated qualities that are the mark of a successful legislator. You would think that her PR person would be smart enough that, you know, when you're spoon-feeding a story to the Associated Press, you don't want it to be all Republicans who are quoted in the story about how wonderful a Democratic senator is. We'll see how this plays out. Somebody called yesterday and said, you know, she's not trying for re-election. She's up for re-election in 2024. But that's not her goal right now. That her goal is to get, you know, a $5 million a year job as a lobbyist working for Grover Norquist, something like that. I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe she just thinks people's memories are short.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
If so, she wouldn't be the first politician to have made a bet on the short memories of Americans and to have won that bet. The Republicans are just coming right out and saying this. You will recall that, you know, during the last couple of years of the Obama administration, I think you could argue successfully that this is one of the things that made it easier for Donald Trump and the Russians to basically get close enough to snatch the election in 2016, was that, you know, Obama and his agenda were essentially paralyzed. Every day, every weekday over at Democratic Underground, they put up a little meme, you know, a graphic. And the one today is just absolutely brilliant. The headline says, after 4 years of chaos and the inability to get stuff done, America will be thrilled to learn that the Republican midterm plan is 18 more months of chaos and the inability to get stuff done. And then they've got an actual quote from an actual congressman. This was Chip Roy. He's a Republican from Texas. He was speaking in front of a group called the Patriot Voices on June 29th of this year, just a week or so ago. And this is what he said. And this, I think, you know, and he wasn't explicitly speaking on behalf of the Republicans in Congress, but, you know, he's certainly informed as to their strategy, which is what he was sharing with the people at Patriot Voices. He said, quote, honestly, right now, for the next 18 months, our job is to do everything we can to slow all of that down, to get to December of 2022. 18 more months of chaos and the inability to get stuff done. And they're doing it. I mean, they have taken at least 3 months out of the Senate schedule by having these phony baloney negotiations with Joe Manchin and the problem solvers and the, you know, on everything from infrastructure to, I mean, just quack, 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 right? The entire strategy is burned through time. Louise and I finished watching the end of The Tudors last night, the T-U-D-O-R-S, the Showtime show about Henry VIII. And toward the end, he's an old man and he's dying, and he says to this guy, what's the one thing that when it's taken away from you can never be returned? And the guy says, your honor? And he says, no, you can redeem your honor through good deeds. And the guy says, your reputation? He says, no, you can do the same. And so the guy says, well, what is it? And Henry VIII says, time. You can never get time back. Well, that's the game Mitch McConnell is playing with Chuck Schumer right now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So how do we best combat this? How do you think it's going to play out? Do you think the Republicans are going to get away with it? Are white people really that gullible? Seems like it. And Gabby in Barstow, California. Hey, Gabby, thanks for watching us on YouTube. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling about the teaching of American history in the school systems, even here in California. I have a 15-year-old who, of course, knew about the Holocaust, has known about it because I've taken to different museums, and we've learned about it and read about things. But we have had internment camps here in America. And my daughter was never taught about that, what we've done to Asian Americans, what we did to the indigenous people when we first came in to the country. And I feel that if we don't know our past, we are doomed to repeat it. It's almost like a 12-step program this country needs to go through for everyone to realize that we're just part of a human race, and we need to get over this division in America if they really want to step over. It's aggravating.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely get it. It was during the, I'm forgetting. It wasn't the Abe administration. It was the guy before Abe in Japan, the very, very conservative prime minister, that they basically, I don't know if they stopped it altogether, but they slowed down substantially or reduced the teaching of the horrors that the Japanese inflicted on the Chinese, the rape of Nanking, for example. In their elementary schools. And and that was about a generation ago. And so now you're seeing a rise of right-wing nationalism in Japan. In Germany, I know back in the 1980s when I lived in Germany and our daughter was in the German high school, the Gymnasium, they were aggressively teaching the history of the Holocaust in Germany. I don't know that they're not still doing that. I'm guessing that they still are, but you're seeing, you know, a rise of the neo-Nazis now in Germany. And
and
I don't know if that has to do with the change in their education systems or not. I don't know if they have the equivalent of, you know, the German equivalent of people saying, oh, we don't want to hear about Hitler anymore, just like the Republicans are saying we don't want to hear about slavery anymore. I'm guessing there's some element of that, and it's probably happening more at the local level, although the German school system tends to be a little more federalized than here in the United States. But go ahead.
Separating of church and state. Everybody wants to have prayer, and that's not always there either. You know, maybe some logic. It would be good if everybody just do unto others. That's the only rule. You know, do unto, if you don't want somebody treating you like crap, or you don't want to be a slave to someone else, you shouldn't think it bad about learning about that. Who did?
Yeah. The golden rule is a good one.
That's it. And it's not in the Bible. Everybody says it's in the Bible. It's like, no.
there's a not literally in that language, but there is a place where essentially Jesus says to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, you know,
it's the golden rule. Yeah. And I just hope people teach their children history because we're doomed to repeat it. And I refuse to let this be repeated. It's really difficult, but
This was a very, you know, a very strategic decision made, by, I was going to say the Jewish community. I'm not sure there's any one such thing, but, you know, to make sure that the Holocaust is never forgotten. There are Holocaust museums all around the world. Native Americans are starting to do the same thing, documenting the Holocaust against Native Americans. We're starting to see, you know, for example, some plantations starting to document the horrors of slavery. And I think, and they're becoming tourist destinations, particularly for African Americans. I think those are all, you know, good steps in the right direction. We need to go a whole lot farther, though. Gabby, thanks for the call.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Andrew in Seattle. Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hey there, Tom. Hey, so I just wanted to give you a response to, trying to have a solution to what we should do about these governors and senators just not being willing or enacting the laws against
23 states now have laws banning the teaching of something that is not being taught in any public schools in America. It's bizarre.
I mean, it's out of control that they're doing this. I mean, essentially any politician that actually is more concerned with what their voters think than who's paying them needs to call them out. Just call them bigots.
Yeah.
To say these people are bigots.
Yeah. Well, that's what I recommend in my article, is that the Democrats need to go on the offense and say, you know, the Republicans are always using racism. They're always trying to terrify white people about minorities, whether it was George W. Bush and Muslims and Reagan and first Bush with black people, or whether it was Donald Trump with Mexicans. They're always trying to terrify white people about people who aren't white. And they're doing it again with this phony baloney hysteria that's all puffed up about this made up critical race theory boogeyman that they have created.
And it goes beyond just critical race theory, too. I mean, it goes into, I mean, it's like Mitch McConnell pretty much spending his entire career is just pretty much based on standing in the way of getting anything done in this country. I mean, a lot of the callers keep trying to figure out what's going on with the Democratic Party, their branding. Like, what are they doing? Like, maybe they just need to stop being concerned about using legalese and using their political speech and just being straightforward and just calling these guys out.
Yeah.
And just being straightforward and just saying, like, these guys will not play ball. They do not want to have anything to do with actually doing any, like, you know, being positive, making things happen.
Well, this is what Chip Roy just said. He just said, you know, the next 18 months, we are trying to slow things down and make sure that nothing gets done. He literally just came right out and said it. The verbatim quote, honestly, right now, for the next 18 months, our job, he's referring to the Republican caucus in Congress, our job is to do everything we can to slow all of that down to get to December of 2022. 18 more months of chaos and the inability to get stuff done. That's what we want. End quote.
Yeah, I think our senators, our congresspeople, they need to just like stand on a soapbox, get in front of a camera and just say these people don't want to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And they're just like essentially say they're more concerned about with who's lining their pockets than with what trying to actually do anything for the people. And the people that are, I don't know, it's just.
And they're trying to scare people with phony scandals. And that's what it's all about. Andrew, well said. Thank you. Jonathan in Minneapolis. Hey, Jonathan, what's up?
Hey, you know, Sinema has been such a headache. I was a supporter when she started out. She was like Green Party and progressive, I think, in the beginning. And now it's just, she's such a headache. She wants to protect the filibuster, but I've been trying to Google it. Has she ever enacted the filibuster to protect us?
Has she ever invoked it? To the best of my knowledge, not.
Yes.
Although that would have required her to be in a minority Congress. And I'm not sure that that's ever been the case. I'd have to go back and look. Yeah, it's just, you know, all she's doing. In fact, in this article, in this puff piece article about her, they talk about how she talks to Mitch McConnell on the phone every week. Really? I mean, really? You gotta do this? Really? It's amazing. Jonathan, thank you. Denise in Rocky Gap, Virginia. Hey, Denise, what's on your mind?
Oh, Tom, this critical race theory stuff. I'd never heard of critical race theory until just a couple of months ago.
Nobody else has.
And
outside of academia.
In 2005, my mother died, and I'm just now going through her books. And in there, she kept my fourth grade Virginia history book. And I opened it up, and I was just like, oh, my God, what were they teaching me at 10 years old? They had the statues in there. They had the glorification of the Civil War. They had a false story about Molly Tynes. And all the history was just just bogus. And this is what they want to go back to. Pompeo's right. statement, he wants to go back to that whitewashed history. When I read that book, I just was thinking, God, I can remember black children being in my classroom, some of my best friends, what they must have thought about themselves reading that book. Is that what they want to go back to? This is insane.
Yeah, I read part of one of those books from the 1950s on the air 2 weeks ago. And you know, and if you heard it, it was about how the slave owners protected their slaves and took good care of them.
Yeah, and had a barbecue. That was in this one, too. And the thing of it is this book was used until the 80s in some counties in Virginia as a Virginia history book taught fourth graders.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And, you know, and this is why this kind of ties into after the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision. You had entire school districts, you know, Prince George's, Maryland, entire school districts that shut down for a whole year. You had these white so-called academies, whites-only academies opening all across the South to replace public schools. I mean, it was, you know, this massive resistance that was declared by these white racist Southern legislators was a thing. I mean, it was a real thing, and it lasted well over a decade. The echoes of it last to this day with Jerry Falwell's Liberty University and Bob Jones University and you know, all kinds of little, you know, white, largely whites-only private schools. And another echo of it is Betsy DeVos's efforts to destroy public education and replace it all with entirely privatized schools. And, you know, that goes back to those race battles or debates or issues or whatever you want to call them at the same time. Denise, excellent. Thank you very much for the call. Robin in Kingston, Washington. Hey, Robin, what's on your mind today?
I think that Democrats actually have a wedge, two wedge issues for 2022, which I, like you, am very, very concerned about the 2022 midterms. And I'm in a major defense mode and just building coalitions to do that. So I don't agree with the current Democratic consultants that the economy is going to be the big issue in 2022. I just don't think that's going to be it. And now you're talking about, you know, this race card, which they've tried before, and I think we're, you know, it's going to be too weak, but I'm not betting on it. And here are the two wedge issues that I think that the Democrats can vote against, because Dems don't usually vote for things, they vote against things, and this is such a rare opportunity for a two wedge issues. We can actually, the Democrats can vote against the Republicans creating and implementing voting restrictions. That's a wedge issue directed at
that's the kind For of the People Act.
Yes, most
and
Democrats.
John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, and so we can say, hey, wait a minute, Republicans are against voting, so we can go against them for that. And then the other one, the troubling issue, is that there are two Republican groups, I'm going to call them, and that's the kind of mainstream Republicans, although they're in hiding. And then the other is the insurrectionists. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another group of Republicans and Republican politicians who are calling that to be just a normal, you know, normal type of a visit to the Capitol, but it wasn't. It was insurrection. So that's another thing that I think we as Democrats can appeal to the middle ground, saying, wait a minute, that was a Republican-owned insurrectionist issue. So those are my two positive ways to maybe change something.
Well, those are both on Nancy Pelosi's schedule. And you'll recall, you know, Kevin McCarthy back, you know, what, seven, eight years ago, you know, going into heading toward 2016, I think this was before Hillary Clinton had nailed down the primary even, but basically said, you know, we've got the Benghazi investigations, we've got the email investigations, we're doing these things in Congress. We're basically, you know, some of this mud is going to stick on Hillary Clinton and she's not going to become president. And that was his whole shtick. And you know, turnabout is fair play here.
Yeah, okay. And I just want to, I know Democratic strategists listen to your show, and I'm just saying the history of midterms is the Democrats don't show up very often for the midterms. Mm-hmm. And I think they can be riled up enough about both the Republican Party trying to limit our voting rights, and then the Republican Party saying,
both being negatives. I do think, though, and I would challenge you on this, that Democrats do vote for things. I mean, that's how we got save GM, sure, and 800,000 monthly job losses reversed, and the Wall Street reform.
Sure.
I mean, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. I mean, we've gotten all kinds of things. Robin, I got to run, but thank you for the call. How do Democrats do this? How do they finesse it? Are Republicans going to be successful with this whole critical race theory hysteria? Or is it going to burn out? I don't know. We'll see. Step by step. Vicki in Chicago. Hey, Vicki, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, so the thing is, I got a really disturbing phone call this morning from my brother, who's a certified teacher in Illinois, working in IT now because of the situation with education. And they're not playing with the CRT business. He called me because they've filed a civil rights discrimination lawsuit in Cook County. Two teachers, through some legal organization called the Southeastern States Legal something or other, alleging discrimination against two white teachers, saying that critical race theory has been used in the system there for many years, that they're separating students and teachers according to the color of their skin in different classrooms and with different teaching materials. This is official. They have filed for the lawsuit.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's real. This is what they do. And as long as they've got all kinds of billionaires who are willing to fund this kind of stuff, they're going to continue doing it. But so are these two teachers being sued, or are the two teachers the litigants?
The two teachers are the litigants, two white teachers.
Right. So it's like the Bakke case, if I'm remembering this correctly, the white guy who wanted to get into the University of Michigan Medical School back in the day. This was like back in the 70s or 80s, and sued because he was at the cutoff. He was the one last person who didn't get in. And he said because of affirmative action at University of Michigan, some black guy got his seat and took it to the Supreme Court. And, they're always looking for these we are the victim cases where they can prove their victimhood and then take it up to the Supreme Court if they possibly can. It sounds like that's exactly what this is, Vicki.
I have no doubt, but this is in Cook County, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that the whole thing is a fabrication. But whatever they've got out there, my brother, who's like a devotee of Amy Goodman, is the one who called me concerned about what was going on, not understanding the larger political game that's going on here.
Right. Yeah.
So the question is, what do we do and how do we prevail? And I think it really, a lot of it comes down to we have to keep talking to each other and sharing these bits of information, even though it's exhausting and tiresome sometimes. We have to keep talking to each other because they are relentless.
Oh, yeah.
And they have no qualms about lying, no qualms about playing games in our court system.
And I think at a certain point, a lot of Americans just, exhausting is the perfect word, Vicki. I think a lot of Americans just go, oh my God, I just can't deal with this anymore. I'm just going to check out. And at that point, they've kind of won.
Exactly.
And I think that's their goal. I think their goal, just like Chip Roy said, the Republicans' role and goal in the House and Senate for the next 18 months is to just drag out everything and don't let the Democrats accomplish anything. And, that will also exhaust people. And, people were, we had such high hopes for Congress. And no. Vicki, thank you for the call. Hi. And so it begins, right? My piece this morning, we quoted one of the vice presidents at Heritage Foundation saying, this will be bigger than the Tea Party. Well, apparently they're going to try and make it that way.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And, of course, the Tea Party had dozens of lawsuits about how Obamacare and death panels and quack, quack, quack. None of them went anywhere. Well, actually, one of them got Medicaid gutted. Frank in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hey, Frank, what's on your mind?
I want to ask you a question about the First Amendment. do I have a right to address my government? If I have that right, can I vote?
The Supreme Court has been offered dozens of opportunities over the years to say just what you're suggesting, that the First Amendment right of free speech should mean that you have the right to vote, that the First Amendment right to petition your government for redress of grievance should, by implication, mean that you have the right to vote. I mean, you know, if you look through at all the hoops that the Supreme Court went through, for example, to come up with the right to get an abortion based on privacy, and some of them are fairly convoluted, a Ninth Amendment right to an abortion, and I'm in favor of Roe v. Wade, but still, it was, they went, you know, okay, we're going to go down this road, then we'll go down that road, and then we'll go down this road. They could have done the same thing with voting rights. It would have been so easy based on the 14th Amendment, on the 15th Amendment, on the First Amendment, on multiple parts of the First Amendment, on the 27th Amendment, on the 19th Amendment. I mean, there's a bunch of places where the Supreme Court had said, okay, you have a right to vote in America if you're a U.S. citizen. But they have never said that. In fact, in the year 2000 in Bush v. Gore, they said the opposite of that. And that's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, we need to radically reconfigure our Supreme Court, because it has become basically a political instrument in the possession of the Republican Party that has worked pretty much exclusively to the disadvantage of American citizens. Gerald in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Gerald, what's on your mind today?
Just want to kind of comment on the racial...
critical race theory?
Yeah. I'm a black man and kind of qualify, or I say myself to be African-American. I also, on my mother's side, my great-grandmothers, both of them were half-indigenous. Mm-hmm. And so... yeah, so the genocide committed against, the black people and the indigenous people needs to be taught,
Yeah.
I don't understand why all this uproar, it baffles me. I remember growing up in elementary school and middle school, and they described the pilgrims and the Indian having Thanksgiving dinner together like it was... it was hunky-dory, but, that really wasn't what was happening. We really need to teach the truth.
Yeah, and those Indians got slaughtered. And spot on, Gerald. I was talking about this with a friend of mine in email yesterday. We had a long correspondence, and I kind of wandered into this whole history of Europe where the Central Europeans wiped out the indigenous people of Europe. Right. I mean, this is kind of white on white crime, as it were. Right. Wiped out the old languages, wiped out the old religions, tore down the sacred groves. They attacked my grandfather's country, Norway, 700 years ago, turned it Catholic. We found this stone in the backyard of my grandfather's ancestral family house that's got all his writing on it that nobody can read anymore. I mean, this idea of wiping out, literally wiping out cultures, in some cases wiping out the people associated with them too, but at least cultural genocide, if not actual outright genocide. Just this wild insanity that has come out of Europe over the last 2,000 years is... just breathtaking. I recently read a history of, kind of an abbreviated history of China, dynastic China. In some ways, it's kind of the same, and it's like ability of human beings to basically go insane and inflict insanity on other human beings is so terrible.
I have plenty of white friends. I don't hate my white friends. I don't think my children would hate any of their white friends.
Yeah.
If they know the history, I mean, I don't understand the uproar, I think it's just political, really, but...
It is. It is. And, the fact is that probably the vast majority of Republican voters, white Republican voters, don't know anybody who's black and are just bought into these cartoon characters, these cartoon images that the GOP is constantly trying to create of black people that are not accurate, that are not honest, but have a political purpose. So, Alejandro in Miami. Hey, Alejandro, what's up?
I guess how the Democratic Party can assert itself and have, I guess, metaphorical balls here. I think it needs to do what Mitch McConnell does, is have more party discipline. Like, why is Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin getting in the way of the Democratic Party being a successful party. I don't get it. Even the Democrats' selfish interest should be like, hey, we want to beat the other party, so we're going to do everything we can to appeal, you know, get more voters and win the next election. Like, why would they allow these dissenters to handicap their party, you know, and not win? Like, isn't there the point of political parties is to win, not to lose? They're going against their own interests. So here's my suggestion how to, you know, put Joe Manchin in line. I mean, these non-Maverick or whatever, however you want to classify these senators, is, yeah, maybe you do a sweetheart deal, but then you tell them, look, if you're not going to follow along and get rid of the filibuster and help us out with passing these Democratic priorities, we're going to primary you, just like what Mitch McConnell, you know, what Trump threatens to do with all the Republicans that don't go along with his agenda. These people need to be waking up to the fact that they're not being brave or maverick. They're just being corporate stooges. So I think we need to really emphasize that point.
You know, to the extent that devolves into a circular firing squad where it's Democrats attacking Democrats, I'm uncomfortable with it. But I do agree with your point. Although there is a grain of truth to everything you said, I do agree with your point that it's time to start playing hardball with these folks. Joe Biden has a lot of things that he can offer to an individual United States senator that would make them salivate. And Chuck Schumer has an awful lot of sticks that he can use to beat them up with, or things that he can withhold from them that they want. And it's time to start doing that. John in Boston. Hey, John, what's up?
Here's the deal. The last time I spoke to you, it's been a while, I remember saying, facts don't matter, Tom, and God love you. Every day you speak facts and history, and we love you for it. But as I think we've seen, they've taken control of the message. And you know, whether it's Fox or Newsmax or social media, now Fox bought Houghton Mifflin Publishing. Texas controls the school books. Anyway, what we need to do is go from their playbook. Appeal to emotions, core emotions. Get people mad. That's what got, a rich New York huckster businessman got Southerners and Midwesterners on board. Why? Because he created a villain. Stick it to the libs. And obviously the racism and now, you know, the whole critical race theory. My point is this, and I don't know how to do it, but what we need to do, and your caller Andrew earlier said, we need every day, you, everyone, get on a soapbox every day and tell people, don't point fingers, but say, we've all been played. We've all been taken advantage of, okay? And we've all been distracted. And that's where the Dems can bring in the tabletop issues that, God love them, are trying to do. But people aren't listening to that. They need to feel like they've been taken advantage of and used. And that's where the Lincoln Project is good. And if we can show clips or whatever of Republicans laughing at people's disadvantage or something like that's what we need to do, because people don't like to feel like they've been,
you're being screwed by the billionaires in the health insurance industry, and they're laughing all the way to the bank along with their Republican enablers. You're being screwed by the crooks in the for-profit education industry and crooks like, you know, Trump University, and they're laughing all the way to the bank.
You wrote a book on it, Tom.
Yeah.
You wrote a book, Screwed.
Actually, I did. Yeah, Screwed. And yes, I'm completely with you, John, and I think your analysis is spot on, and I think your prescription is a good one, too. And
Every day we have to do it.
Yeah, and I look forward to, and I do a fair amount of that on this program.
I try not to turn this program
into a complaint fest. I find, you know, whiny talk radio to be among the least appealing, yet we have to point these things out. John, thank you for the call. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day.
So what makes a life a good one?
In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Justin in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hey, Justin, what's on your mind today?
This critical race theory has got people stirred up out here, okay? Trump supporters were down at our state capitol, I think, last week. They showed it on the news. And, you know, they were yelling and screaming, you know, no critical race theory in our school. And, you know, our governor of our state, this is his last year. So he's going around on a tour from county to county doing town hall meetings on critical race theory. Right. And also on sex or health education, you know, abstinence only type stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're encouraging Republicans to call in to like the Board of Education or whatever, to call into the school and, you know, voice their complaints and stuff. You know, and I kind of went online and I checked out this stuff. No, nothing too radical or anything. Nobody's teaching critical race theory. But no. The ones who, you know, they try to shut you down when you talk about it. They will say, you know, to understand critical race theory, you need to understand critical theory. And, you know, to them, it's like, well, it all boils down to the haves and the have-nots. And that makes you a Marxist. That makes you a communist. That makes you a socialist. They shut the conversation down right there.
Yep.
And, you know, then they'll change the topic, you know, like they tried to, our mayor, she's a Democrat here in Lincoln, you know, they tried to pardon some of the Black Lives Matter protesters, or you could say...
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah, or rioters. Anyways, yeah, no, that's why they want to get rid of the, you know, with the critical race theory thing, they're afraid of, I think, losing their, you know, this illusion of power that they have, you know, these rich white people. And
this is not even fear, Justin. What's going on, the people who are promoting this is just the latest version of what they were saying in the 1950s when I was a little kid, that if black people are fully integrated with white people, they're going to take your job. And then in the 1970s and 80s, it was, you know, if more immigrants come into the United States from South America, they're going to take your job. And then, actually in the 70s, during the Women's Revolution, it was, if women are allowed into the workforce, they're going to take your job. You know, it's constantly we have the agents of the ruling class, the conservatives, the Republican Party mostly, telling us, working people, who we should be afraid of. And it's, I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah. Thanks for picking my call. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head with everything you're talking about today. So thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I mean, this is just an old trick. They've been doing this thing forever. It has worked for them over and over and over again. It is working for them again. I mean, you don't get laws passed in 23 states like that over nothing. This is an enormous effort put together by the Murdoch family, you know, the media billionaires, and the fossil fuel billionaires. I mean, you just got a whole bunch of billionaires working on this thing. Clay in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Hey, Clay, what's on your mind today?
What prompted my call was the caller earlier that was talking about the couple of coaches in Illinois in some kind of a lawsuit or something.
Oh, it was high school teachers who are suing, yeah, and saying that, I haven't seen the lawsuit, so I don't want to characterize it, but a couple of right-wing
teachers.
Well,
it was mentioned,
suing.
You know, it's something about, you know, critical race theory is involved. And the problem is people don't know what critical race theory is. It's a college-level course for law students that takes a critical look at how laws and policies have affected, you know, blacks in the past.
Well, not just blacks, how they've affected everybody, but how they've affected it based on race. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, it's not some new thing. It's been around since the 70s.
Yep.
And, You know, it people need to know this because it's just some punk went on Fox News and said, oh, they're teaching critical race theory to fourth graders or something, you know, and so then that's how
which is just a lie. There's critical race theory is not taught in any public schools in America, period, full stop.
No.
And nor would it ever be.
There may be racial issues that are discussed.
Well, this is what they're actually afraid of, Clay. You know, critical race theory is a straw man. What they're really afraid of is that young people in America are going to learn the actual history of America and are going to start turning to their elders and saying, now, tell me again why you've got a statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest here. You know,
it's like they're replacing the word history with critical race theory.
Exactly. And they just don't want the genocide of Native Americans taught because, hey, maybe we should do something about that, or maybe we shouldn't replicate that, or maybe we should learn from them. They don't want the history of slavery taught, the true history of slavery taught in the United States, and what it was like and what these people survived and didn't survive, frankly, so many of them. Critical race theory BS, you know, I mean, they've literally taken a phrase from academia, assigned a completely different meaning to it that only faintly resembles even the context of the discussion around it, turned it into a thing, passed laws against it in 23 states, gotten hysterical about it, got Fox News talking about it over 100 times in every half a day. Right-wing Hague Radio is all over it. We'll see if it sticks. I mean, they tried this in 2012 with Obama. We'll see if it sticks. And meanwhile, you've got, you know, Republicans, you know, coming like Chip Roy, just coming right out and saying, yeah, you know, here's our strategy. Our strategy is to delay, to pretend to collaborate in order to delay, you know, as Henry VIII said, you know, what's the one thing, if you lose it, you can never get it back? Time. We are going to burn time. And it's the Democrats' time, because the Democrats are in charge of the Senate right now and the House. So we're going to burn their time. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.